Hey, what up? Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the ISC Bengals Show, presented to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. My name is Chris Asbrock, and as always, I am your host. And Impact Sports Cincinnati is brought to you by Dark Hawk Nutrition. Dark Hawk Nutrition is the next evolution in sports supplements. Their pre-workout, protein, creatine, and other products are produced in FDA-approved facilities, third-party tested for quality, and are guaranteed clean. Use code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. That is code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. And as always, make sure you guys check that out. They've got a lot of great stuff over there. Again, their supplements are fantastic, but now they're coming out. They've got some new gear coming out, you know, like accessories, that kind of stuff. Great stuff over there at Dark Hawk Nutrition. So make sure you go out there and support Craig and the boys over there. And obviously, you know, use code IMPACT and you're going to get yourself a nice little discount there. So, well, Bengals fans, here we are on Tuesday, September 19th, and we are here to discuss the Bengals falling to the Baltimore Ravens 27-24 on Sunday. And I tell you what, it's we are at a point now to where I think we can seriously look at hitting the panic button. Now, everybody says, well, you know, they started 0-2 last year, and look where they went, to the AFC Championship. Well, this is different. Last week, we obviously discussed the loss at Cleveland in a game that really wasn't close. But I mean, it was close, but it wasn't. And this game was a lot closer on the scoreboard than what it felt. Like I said, this feels different. Like I said, Bengals fall to 0-2. Baltimore, with the victory, moves and improves to 2-0 in the division. Again, this is a situation here to where, you know, with everything surrounding this football team and the way everything has played out, I think it's definitely time to look at starting to, like I said, hit the panic button on this season already. Now, I'm not one. I look at things, you know, if you've listened to me over the last, you know, geez, I've been podcasting for years. So if you've listened to me over that, you know, I don't sugarcoat anything. I shoot it straight, you know, and I'm not one that, you know, again, looks at everything, you know, as a fan. I look at everything, like I said, realistically, you know, with a non-biased, you know, approach to it. Excuse me. With that being the case, this is definitely a season now that's going into the expectations were there for this football team. Fortunately, I didn't post it on the website, but going into the season, I had the Bengals winning the Super Bowl. I had the Bengals, in the Super Bowl over the San Francisco 49ers. We're at a point now to where I really do wonder if that's going to be the case. Because the way things are starting to play out for this football team, we are at a point now to where it's do or die time here for this team. Like I said, we are only two games into a 17-game season. I understand that. So, yes, could we go 0-5 to start the season and come back, win the next 12, and make the playoffs? Yeah, we certainly can. But for the expectations moving into this season, we are at a point now to where this is really starting to become crucial. And the way the offense has come out and played last week, completely and utterly non-existent. The first couple drives of this game, pretty non-existent as well. The offense started to pick it up towards, you know, as the game moved on, the offense started to pick it up. So, you know, that was nice. You know, our third drive, we only had, and see, in the game, when you're facing the Baltimore Ravens, you're not going to be getting a lot of, your drives are going to be very limited. Bengals only had 7 drives this game, 3 in the first half. 3 drives total in the first half and 4 in the second half. So, you know, the Bengals scored on 3 of their 4 drives. However, one of the, and you know, they didn't get the, now, they didn't get a drive because of the punt return by Charlie Jones. So that kind of, that took a possession away from this team. But with that being the case, you know, you're still looking at the totality of this. And Baltimore ended up with 9 drives, you know, total. And Baltimore had time of possession of 7 minutes, almost 7:50. 2 minutes, almost 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2, 6, 2, 3.5. Like, so, you know, they were taking some time off the clock. Only 2 drives ended up being 4 plays or less. Now, they did score a touchdown after the Joe Burrow interception in the end zone. It took Baltimore 4 plays. 4 plays, 62 yards, and it ended up being a touchdown. Now, this game, you had some dudes that were out for Baltimore. You had 4 of their huge players were, you know, were out. J.K. Dobbins was out. Marlon Humphrey was out. Ryan Stanley was out. Tyler Linderbaum was out. 2, their starting center and their starting tackle were both out. That didn't stop this team. Baltimore was Baltimore. Now, I do find solace, and like I said, the way the offense played in the second half compared to, you know, what we've seen, you know, so far moving forward, you know, to start the season. The Bengals offense started to pick it up. Joe Burrow started to look a little more comfortable in what they were doing. On the flip side of that, Joe Burrow's not comfortable. And now we've seen Joe Burrow is injured. So in this game, you know, obviously, you know, being down at the stadium, it was one of those things to where I always watch and see how, you know, I watch everything. It's not just I'm focusing on just one thing, but I kept telling the people around us, Joe's not right. Joe's not right. Joe's not right. And you could tell that, I mean, obviously, you know, what I'm saying here is not this huge revelation that I'm coming up with here, because it was obvious to everybody, but it was just one thing. And I was, you know, one thing I was explaining to people, though, was the fact that you could see he was not pushing off and stepping into his throws again. Definitely didn't trust the calf. That is a problem. And it ended up being a problem late in the game when he re-aggravated that calf. That's where I say we had, like, it's really time to start hitting the panic button. Because this team ain't going to win without Joe Burrow and having Jake Browning as our quarterback. This team ain't going to win. Yeah, they might be able to pull off the victory Monday night against the Rams. The Rams are okay. Not the Rams that we've seen in the years past. I mean, they're certainly not dog crap, so, you know, you're still facing a solid NFL team. But this isn't the Rams that we have seen, like I said, in years past. This is just, it's not them. My concern is, and we just saw it happen on Monday Night Football last week, Aaron Rodgers, four plays into his season, goes down with a torn Achilles. Now, Aaron Rodgers dealt with a calf strain. I want to say it was in OTAs, which led to the torn Achilles. Look at Joe Burrow. That's what I'm fearing. Joe has to sit. You just invested $275 million into this guy. You made him the highest paid player in NFL history. You guaranteed him $219 million. Protect that investment. Joe does not need to be playing until he is good. And you could see that. This offense, you know, you could watch. Now, here's the thing. The offensive line did a really good job in keeping Joe upright. Joe ended up going 27 of 41 for 222 yards. He had two touchdowns, and he did have the one interception. It was a bad pick in the end zone. Quarterback rating of 85.6, and he was sacked one time. Not bad. But you're seeing now, like I said, with Joe Burrow and the way he is playing and the way he's handling himself in the pocket, he's not getting out of the pocket. He's not, you know, extending plays or giving himself room to make good throws. You could see the recognition is there on some of them. He just doesn't have it to get into and make the throw. That's where the problem lies. So then you're in turn sitting there and doing these quick, you know, dump out passes, you know, to Mixon or, you know, Tyler Boyd, you know, quick passes over to T. Higgins quick, Jamar quick. That's, you know, that's what we're starting to see. Joe Mixon averaged 4.5 yards per rush. He carried the ball 13 times. Why didn't he carry it more? That's where, you know, and I've blasted Zach Taylor in the past, two years ago. I blasted Zach Taylor for his play calling. I look at it this way. You've got to be smart with the way, on the flip side of that, though, I will say this. I will give Zach credit in terms of he is very limited in what he can do with a quarterback who is as hobbled as Joe is. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And that's what we are seeing with Joe Burrow, you know, and where he's at right now physically. So with that being the case, obviously you are very limited in what you can do in terms of, you know, the passing game and everything like that. So we see that. And that's how it's coming across. Now, you're playing in front of a packed house, you know, just over 66,000 people. And 72-degree weather, you know, partly cloudy. It was beautiful. Beautiful. Weather wasn't a factor like it was in week one up in Cleveland. This was Joe being not even remotely comfortable. That's where the problem lies. And the play calling there, like I said, 13 of 59, 13 attempts for 59 yards, an average of 4.5 yards per carry for Joe Mixon. Joe's looked good. Joe has done a solid job so far this year. I have to give him credit. He had a long run of 14 yards. He had a long reception of 32. Swing pass out of the backfield. Man, he was hauling. So, like I said, with that being the case, this is where the problem lies, is you're very limited in play calling. Yes, Joe Burrow, you know, is Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow has been able to mask a lot of stuff in terms of play calling. He's been able to mask a lot of it, you know, of Zach Taylor's play calling because he's Joe Burrow. Zach's been able to get away with that kind of stuff because he's got JFB as quarterback. He can't do that right now. Because JFB ain't JFB. He's just Joe Burrow right now. Joe's just flat out not right. And you could see it. And I want to say it was Mo Egger that brought up a great point in terms of his body language. Joe's body language sucks. It sucks so bad. You've got to rest the man. Get him healthy. Now, on the flip side, the defense. And now I'm going to give Lamar Jackson a crap ton of credit because Lamar Jackson's Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's a dude. He ended up going 24-33 for 237 yards. He had two touchdowns, no picks, and a long pass play of 52 yards. He had a quarterback rating of 112.8. He also added 12 rushes for 54 yards. As, you know, Baltimore was able to attack, you know, 178 yards on the ground, you know, compared to just the 66 that the Bengals had. Huge difference there. Huge difference. The Bengals defense has always done a pretty good job of being able to corral Lamar and not let him go completely and totally off. Now, Lamar is, I want to say, 7-1 as a starter against the Bengals. So the dude, he beats him. But for the most part, he doesn't tear him apart. But this game, it just never felt like the Bengals were going to win. It kind of felt that way early on. And you could easily tell after the Bengals, like, first drive when, you know, they go, see their first drive, see they get the ball, they go 3 and out. 2 3-and-outs on the first two drives of the game. They get the ball. Baltimore gets the ball first, goes 13 plays, 70 yards, and get a touchdown. So you're like, okay, Baltimore, like I said, they made it look you know, relatively easy marching it down the field. So you're like, okay. And then the Bengals get the ball right back. They're three plays, 12 yards, end up with a penalty, punt. Okay. Baltimore gets the ball, seven plays, 26 yards. Missed field goal by Justin Tucker. The greatest kicker in the history of the NFL misses a field goal. All right. There's your chance right there, Bengals. There is your chance. So you get that chance to go. And what do? You go three plays, 2 yards, and have to punt again. That simply cannot happen. It can't happen. But yet, the offense couldn't get it going. But, again, in the second half, you know, it actually really started with, you know, the drive where, you know, after they gave up the field goal to Baltimore, the Bengals really, that drive kind of turned into something there. But then when you think about it, you know, like I said, that second drive or the third drive where, like I said, it started to, it seemed to kickstart the Bengals offense, which was crucial for them. Now, when I say kickstart, it was honestly seemingly more reminiscent of, you know, the Bengals offenses that we had expected to see coming into the season. That's kind of how it played out. But against the game, you know, against a team like Baltimore, where your possessions are going to be very, very, very limited, and they were, because of the play of a Lamar Jackson, a Gus Edwards, Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, Nelson Aguilar. You know, those guys, because of, you know, the offense, I'd tell you one thing, side note, Zay Flowers is going to be an absolute nightmare for the AFC North for years to come. Zay Flowers is, and I was saying it to the Ravens fans around us, I said, this dude's a pain in the ass. He's an absolute pain in the ass. And you could see it. He's an absolute nightmare to cover. Absolute nightmare to cover. And he hauled in a beautiful 52-yard pass from Lamar Jackson. I mean, it was just gorgeous and double coverage. Now, here's the thing. Lamar Jackson, like I said, is Lamar Jackson. He's going to beat you with his legs. He's going to beat you with his arm. Lamar is a great football player. He's a great football player. So, with that being the case, you've got to do a better job defensively than what the Bengals did. You know, Logan Wilson seemed to be really the only Bengals defensive player that was playing with, you know, any ounce of fire. And again, I'm not going to, you know, put these guys on blast. You know, they go out there and they bust their butt. So it's not like they simply weren't trying, because they were. But the problem is this defense has done such a good job over the last couple of years that, you know, they've been able to take care of business when, you know, things got tough. It was the bend but don't break. They were breaking, though. You know, they were bending and they were breaking. And that's a problem. That's concerning if you are a Bengals fan. Or, hell, if you're Bengals coaches. Now,
you know, the Bengals chose to move on from Jesse Bates in the offseason. And Von Bell left. So I guess you could say they chose to move on from him as well. So with that being the case, how much of a difference does that make in the defense and how things are being played, you know, in terms of, you know, the way they set up and everything like that? Because with Jesse Bates and Von Bell back there, you know, things went very smooth. They were the quarterbacks of your defense. Now you've got Dax Hill and Nick Scott. Nick Scott's a veteran. Dax Hill's new. You know, he's a second-year player. So, what, you know, what kind of impact does that have on how the defense has played so far? In terms of alignment, what they're seeing, you know, in terms of assignments, you know, different stuff like that. You know, is it a big part of it? It very well could be. Very well could be. But I know they're not doing a good job of stopping the run, which is something that we are not used to seeing. We're used to seeing the Bengals defense do a great job with DJ Reader, among others, and BJ Hill, and stopping the run. We haven't seen that yet so far. Major lack of pass rush. Now, granted, the defense has been on the field for a good amount of time. So I will give them that. Bengals defense was on the field for over 33 minutes. But, you know, on third down, out of 14 opportunities for Baltimore, they converted 9 of those for 64.3% conversion rate. That can't happen. So you're forcing yourself to stay on the field longer because of that. That's a problem. A huge problem. That's what this Bengals team is running into right now. When you have an offense that is as absolutely as inept as it is right now, or as it was in the first five quarters, five and a half quarters, you're asking a lot on your defense. So when you're asking a lot of your defense like that, and like I said, you know, are they solely to blame? No, they're not. But they're a part of it. Burrow's to blame. Because of, you know, just it's the circumstances surrounding it all. Dude's hurt. One of the best quarterbacks in the league, he's hurt. So, you know, naturally, it's going to be a struggle. And it is. It's ugly. Very ugly. Going into a season where the hopes were very high. And like I said, myself, you know, along with a few other, you know, beat writers. I'm not a Bengals beat writer, you know, I'm not on the beat, but, you know, they picked the Bengals to win the Super Bowl as well. I'm with them. That's the worst part about all of this. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to really go too much into it because this game is, you know, it's, there really isn't much to say about it. But now we have to look forward. What are we going to look at moving forward now? Like I said, it's almost time to hit the panic button. Because you have a must win right now in week 3 on Monday Night Football against the Los Angeles Rams. against a team you're favored against and you should beat. But again, is Burrow going to play? I wouldn't play him. Dude's got to sit. But all along, and we saw it for weeks upon weeks, we watched this Bengals, you know, we watched the backup quarterback, you know, battle. And it was ugly. Was there lack of movement and not effort, but lack of aggressiveness in going out and bringing somebody in? Is that going to be the downfall? Now, I wish Nick was on this episode tonight, but unfortunately, you know, he couldn't be on tonight. But I told him the other day, and I texted him. It was Sunday after the game. We were talking. I'm calling Carson Wentz. I'd even call Matt Ryan. One of those two guys I'm calling right now. You can get by with Jake Browning for this week. Because God forbid, Joe Burrow, who's going to want to come back, he's going to want to play. And that's where an athlete is their own worst enemy. Every athlete's the same way. They're going to want to tough it. They're going to want to tough it out. That can't be the case here. Again, you have to protect your $275 million investment. Because if you don't, there's a chance to salvage this season still. And yes, we're only two games in. I know that. But if Jake Browning is your full-time quarterback for the next couple weeks, in a very, very, very winnable stretch of games, oh man, it could get interesting. That's what we're looking at. That is where the panic sets in. Hell, do you even go out and do you maybe look at getting an Andy Dalton? People know I'm a huge Dalton guy. Because whoever you bring in isn't going to overtake Joe Burrow anyway. But I want a guy that, because me personally, Burrow's sitting out until like November. I'm not bringing him in. Maybe Jamar was onto something when he said, you know, I wouldn't play him until week 5. Jamar was onto something. Because now with an injured JFB, you have a major, major steep uphill climb. I mean, you're only two games into the season. Jake Browning isn't going to win you a bunch of games. He's just not. Now, do you feel more comfortable with Jake Browning or Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan or Andy Dalton as your quarterback? I feel better with those three. I mean, let's be real. Those guys have been, they're veterans. They've been in the playoffs. They can get the job done. They can carry you for a few weeks while your star quarterback and one of the best quarterbacks in this league is recovering and getting healthy. Make the call. Because that's what's got to be done. Joe ain't going to play on Monday. Joe ain't going to play the following week. You got to look at it realistically here. It's not going to happen. This isn't something to mess with, especially after we just saw Aaron Rodgers go down for the entire year with the torn Achilles. Now, call me silly, but I don't want that happening to JFB. So, you know, it's time to be smart about this. Now, there is a lot that, you know, like I said, that, you know, was left to be desired. But, you know, this is still a very good football team. They're a good football team. Do they need to play better? Of course they do. Of course they do. There's no denying that. And they will. This team's going to be okay. Now, at this point, if they can, you know, if you can get Joe fully healthy here pretty soon and still win football games in his absence. Now, none of this is guaranteed, but he could be, you know, he could come back and be completely fine. I'm not that optimistic. I think this is a, you know, at least a, you know, 3-4 week thing. But all is not lost. Now your life's more hell if you go out and you lose on Monday night. But if you manage to go out there and get a dub, get the 1-2, and go from there, that's what you got to do. But again, for as great of a job as what the Bengals front office has done over the last couple of years, they've got a chance to really make some waves by going out and bringing in a veteran quarterback with loads of experience. And I've named the three names. You either trade for Andy Dalton, or you go out and you sign Matt Ryan or Carson Wentz. Now, whoever you bring in isn't starting on Monday night. But the Bengals' lack of movement, a lack of aggression during, you know, the training camp when you saw how bad the backup quarterback battle was, I hope that doesn't unravel what we've seen so far and what could happen down the road. So, you know, there's a chance for, you know, like I said, the Bengals to do something here. And it starts Monday night at home against the Los Angeles Rams on Monday Night Football. So, Bengals fans, again, all is not lost. Yeah, 0-2 sucks really bad. Especially when you're a team that is, you know, has aspirations of making it to the Super Bowl. So, you know, it's time to either put up or shut up. And this team can, they can put up. They can do it. So now's the time to do it. Because they've got the talent. Because they are hands down one of the top, you know, if you look at them on paper, obviously Super Bowls aren't won on paper. But on paper, this is a really, they're a damn good football team. And they're a team that can make a lot of noise. So, you know what? Let's see how it plays out. But with that being the case, you know, it's about to get really interesting here over these next, you know, a couple weeks But again, as always, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the ISC Bengals Show. And again, I will be back, at least myself, I'm hoping to be back with Nick next week, as we will take a look back at the Rams-Bengals Monday night matchup. Like I said, we're going to, you know, take a major, you know, deep dive into that. But as always, make sure you follow us on, Twitter /X at @ISCincy and at @IamChrisAsbrock. And for Nick, at @CincyZZ. Make sure you check us out online at www.iscincy.com. That is www.iscincy.com. Again, thank you guys so much for checking this out. Make sure you pass all the information out to your friends. Let them, let them know about this show, and get the word out. We truly appreciate everything. And with that being the case, stay tuned, and we will be back next week for another episode of the Impact Sports Cincinnati Bengals Show. Again, this is Chris Hasbrock saying have a great night, everybody, and take care, and we will be back next week. Have a good one, everybody.